Welcome to this deep dive. We're tackling something fundamental today, something right at your center, literally, the navel, or hora. You're here because you want to grasp important ideas quickly, thoroughly, without getting, you know, bogged down.
Right. Get straight to the good stuff.
Exactly. So our mission is clear: to give you a streamlined understanding of this, well, often underappreciated part of yourself.
And the sources you shared are incredibly diverse. It's fascinating. We've got anatomy, physiology, traditional medicine, different therapies, even spiritual practices.
Yeah, it's quite a range.
What's really striking is this recurring focus on the navel across fields that don't usually, you know, talk to each other that much.
That's it. We're going to extract the most impactful insights about the navel center, see how it influences your physical well-being, your emotions, maybe even your deeper sense of self.
Hopefully some real aha moments for people listening.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with the navel as a physical center, where do we begin there?
Well, a key idea is seeing the navel as this central point in the fascia system.
Fascia, right, that connective tissue network everywhere in the body.
Exactly. Think of it like a body-wide web, super sensitive communication network linking all your organs, muscles, nerves, everything.
Wow.
And smack bang in the middle, topologically speaking, is your navel. It's like the central junction box.
And it's not just passive structure, is it? The sources mention the intercellular matrix, that space between cells.
Uh-huh, the matrix. That's where so much happens. Metabolism, immune responses, information zipping back and forth.
And it has, what, crystalline properties, like a liquid crystal?
Yeah, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. Which means it could potentially react to electromagnetic field, maybe even store and release emotions energetically. It's pretty out there,
yeah.
But conceptually interesting.
It is quite a thought. And it ties into that observation you mentioned from the sources.
Right, about how sometimes, if someone has a twisted pelvis, gently touching the navel can cause it to just relax instantly.
But only if the person's energy field, their aura around the navel, isn't stressed.
Exactly. Which really suggests this deep link between the physical body, the fascia, and maybe something more subtle, some kind of energetic layer.
Okay, so it's a physical hub, but clearly interacting with other big systems. Let's shift to the nervous system. The solar plexus keeps coming up.
Ah, yes, the solar plexus. It's anatomically right behind the navel area. Think of it as a major nerve center, almost like a mini brain for your gut and stress responses.
A command center.
Pretty much. Uh-huh. The sources describe it regulating the fascia, organs, internal balance, even our mental and emotional states. It's key for controlling overall tension.
So it manages the sympathetic, the go, go, go system.
Yeah, performance, defense, fight or flight.
And the parasympathetic, the calm down system.
Rest and digest, regeneration. And a huge part of that parasympathetic control involves the vagus nerve.
The vagus nerve. Okay, I've heard a lot about that. That's the main calming nerve, right?
That's the one. It wanders all through the torso, connecting the brain to the gut, heart, lungs. And it heavily influences the limbic system of the brain.
The emotion center, fear, joy, all that basic stuff.
Precisely. And the solar plexus connection goes further, linking to the adrenal glands sitting on top of the kidneys.
Ah, the stress hormone producers, cortisol, adrenaline.
Right. Via what's called the HPA axis, hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. It's the body's main stress response pathway.
And if that gets stuck because of chronic stress,
then you get all sorts of negative downstream effects.
Yeah.
Problems with recovery, immunity dips, digestion goes haywire, mood issues, low energy. It impacts everything.
And that connects back to the physical tension, like tight hip muscles or that pelvic twist we mentioned.
It can, yeah. The sources suggest that kind of tension can be a physical sign that the body's locked in that stress mode, that sympathetic dominance. The hip flexors are particularly linked to the fight or flight response.
Makes sense. But what about the gut itself? The sources call it the abdominal brain. That sounds significant.
It really is. We're talking about the enteric nervous system, this vast network of nerve cells, hundreds of millions of them lining the intestinal walls.
Wow, that many.
Yeah, sometimes called the second brain. And it uses the same chemical messengers, neurotransmitters, hormones as the brain in your head. Things like serotonin. A huge amount of it is actually produced and used in the gut.
So it's not just about pushing food along. It's actively influencing our emotions, our behavior.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Almost independently in some ways. The sources suggest its intelligence might even operate beyond our conscious thinking. It's processing information constantly.
That's powerful. This whole abdominal area with the navel connecting fascia and the second brain, It's way more complex than I thought.
It really is. And its significance starts even earlier, right back at the beginning of our existence.
You mean in the womb, the umbilical cord connection.
Exactly. The navel, before it is the navel, is that lifeline. The umbilical cord is the sole connection to the mother. It's not just nutrients passing through.
It's everything, isn't it? Shared experiences, food, emotions, stress.
Totally. The sources describe how the developing fetus, through the umbilical cord in its fascia, directly experiences the mother's state. Changes in her blood, her heartbeat, blood pressure, her nervous system signals, it's all transmitted.
Like a direct feedback loop.
A very sensitive one. They even mentioned research suggesting the mother just thinking about something like nicotine could cause the umbilical cord vessels to constrict.
Incredible. So right from the earliest stages, the navel area and the surrounding fascia are learning, shaping our stress responses, our emotional patterns, even early memories.
That seems to be the implication. The body's basic communication and response systems are being laid down, and the navel is right at the center of that information exchange.
And then birth happens. The cord is cut.
And we get what the sources call the primordial scar, the navel. It represents that first fundamental separation, becoming an individual entity.
And that experience can set a tone for trust or stress.
That's the idea. A calm, supportive separation might foster basic trust. A traumatic one could potentially ingrain patterns of stress or tension right there at the core.
It's interesting they note the navel forms differently than other scars, like it draws inward naturally.
Yeah, it's unique in that way. Perhaps that unique formation contributes to why it holds such significance later, which leads us into all the therapeutic and spiritual perspectives.
Okay, perfect transition. We've got the physical groundwork, fascia, nerves, development. Now, how do different healing systems and traditions actually view and work with this navel center? This feels like where the perspectives really diverge and converge in fascinating ways.
It really does. Take neural therapy, for instance.
Yeah.
They look at scars in general as potential disturbance fields.
Meaning they can mess up the body's regulation?
Exactly. And they see the navel as that primordial scar, as a potentially major one. It could have system-wide effects.
So what do they do?
They might inject a tiny bit of local anesthetic, like procaine, or use specific laser light frequencies on the navel. The idea is to sort of reset the autonomic nervous system signals passing through that area.
And that can help with things like pelvic torsion.
Apparently so, sometimes quite dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
It really points towards that electromagnetic or subtle energy aspect we touched on earlier.
Okay. And then Peter Levine's work. Somatic experiencing.
Right. He sees the abdomen, that abdominal brain, as the place where traumatic reactions often originate and are held in the body.
So healing trauma involves working with the gut feelings, literally.
In a very real sense, yes. Releasing trauma often starts by bringing awareness and allowing completion of responses felt in that core abdominal area.
Interesting. What about Gerda Boysen, biodynamic psychology?
Her concept of psychoperistalsis is fascinating. Basically, she observed that the sounds and activity of your intestines, the peristalsis, directly reflect your mental and emotional state.
So you can read someone's stress levels by listening to their gut.
In a way, yes. And her therapeutic approach involved very gentle abdominal massage, guided by those gut sounds, to help release stored stress and process psychological issues. It's a direct application of that gut-brain connection.
Very hands-on. And orthobionomy, that sounds gentle too.
It is. They also see the navel as a central switching point. They link it to our pre- and postnatal experiences, but also physically to the ventral myofascial chain, that line of fascia down the front of the body.
Influencing movement patterns.
And our fundamental sense of connection to life, they suggest. Again, working gently with the navel to access something really deep and foundational.
We're seeing a pattern of gentle touch having potentially big effects here.
Definitely. And it pops up in reflex therapies too. The sources mention neuro-lymphatic reflex points around the navel.
Like Chapman points.
Exactly, Chapman, Goodhart. Specific points linked to lymphatic drainage and organ function. There are zones around the navel connected to the bladder, pelvic muscles, even the kidneys.
So working those points can influence those areas.
That's the principle, yes. Using the navel area as a map or access point for other body systems.
Even kinesiology gets in on the act.
Yep. Apparently, the navel is used as a key point for some types of allergen testing and also for addressing something called switching.
Switching. What's that?
It's described as a kind of neurological disorganization, maybe between the brain hemispheres. Kinesiologists might test reflexes related to the navel to diagnose and treat it. It's like the navel is a central point for checking body coherence.
Okay, it's showing up everywhere in these therapeutic models. Now, what about the more explicitly spiritual or energy-based traditions? The Hara, Tan Tien.
Right. This is where the navel center often gets identified directly with the Hara, the Japanese term meaning essentially source of life or vital center. Or the lower Tan Tien, sometimes spelled Dan Tien, in Chinese traditions like Qigong or Tai Chi.
The center of inner strength and balance.
That's the core idea. Cultivating awareness and energy in this area is seen as fundamental for stability, power, and groundedness.
The sources argued, though, that the actual navel might be the true Hara point, rather than the spot slightly below it, often described as the Tan Tien.
Yes, based on that observation of immediate fascial relaxation when the navel itself is touched.
Yeah.
That specific rapid response suggests the navel might be the more direct access point for this central regulation, at least in the context of techniques like navel integration.
Interesting distinction. What about traditional Chinese medicine, TCM? How do they view it?
In TCM, the area below the navel is definitely considered the lower Tan Tien, the ocean of energy, a major reservoir of qi, or vital life force.
Do they treat the navel itself?
Generally, they avoid needling right in the navel, but they recognize its importance. It's point CV8, Ran 8, on the conception vessel meridian, seen as a central point. They might use moxibustion warming the area with burning herbs on or around the navel.
So acknowledging its centrality, even if they don't needle it directly.
Exactly. And it's not just Eastern traditions. Even in French ear acupuncture, developed by Nogier.
The ear reflects the whole body, right?
Okay.
Precisely. And the navel point on the ear is considered the zero point, a central coordinating point, a master point for the whole oracle.
What's it used for?
Things like overexertion, exhaustion, general well-being, and relaxing abdominal spasms. Interestingly, the zone representing the solar plexus on the ear also starts right there. At that navel zero point.
It's like a fractal connection, the center reflecting the center.
Sort of, yeah. And then, of course, Ayurveda and yoga have the navel chakra, Manipura, the city of jewels.
A major energy center.
Huge. Said to have 72,000 nadis, or subtle energy channels, radiating from it. It governs digestion, personal power, self-esteem.
And the sources mentioned links between this navel chakra, the heart's own intelligence, the third eye, the crown.
Yes, highlighting this interconnected energy system. The heart having its own brain, influenced by the abdomen. The third eye, pineal gland, and crown, hypothalamus, being linked through the HPA axis back down to the solar plexus and navel chakra.
That meditation practice described drawing light in through the brow down to the heart, then the navel.
Yeah, that illustrates the idea of consciously working with these interconnected centers, moving energy between them.
And anthroposophy, Steiner's work.
They view the solar plexus nerve cluster as the physical basis for the navel chakra. And interestingly, they see it as the place where the ego, our sense of self, primarily interacts with the physical body. They even call it the abdominal brain, working closely with the kidneys.
The abdominal brain, again, it keeps popping up.
It does. And Damien Alvarez's perspective tries to synthesize a lot of this. He sees the solar plexus, right there at the navel chakra, as a key communication point with the universe, connected to all other chakras.
Controlling life energy, chi, or prana.
Yes, and he emphasizes its deep roots present from birth, connected to original consciousness, transcending space and time, even protecting our aura, our energy field.
Protecting the aura? How?
The idea is that a strong, balanced navel center solar plexus acts like a shield. Stress and trauma hit this center first, apparently. He even points to things like fear and envy as sources of social traumatization that weaken this center.
That's a powerful concept, social energies affecting our core.
And he talks about constant, unconscious, energetic communication happening via the solar plexus. We're picking up stuff from others all the time at this level.
So strengthening it helps filter that and stabilize the self.
That's the idea. And his recommendations are quite practical. Laughter, crying, deep belly breathing, gentle massage around the solar plexus area. Things anyone can do.
Interesting. Okay, what about shamanic views? Vastaneda.
Yeah. The Don Juan teachings describe humans as luminous eggs. Or energy fields. They talk about energy fibers circulating between the head and the navel, and crucially, fibers extending from the navel connecting us to the environment.
Like energetic roots.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Providing balance and stability within the larger energy field, the navel as an anchor point.
And the primal tone idea from Dr. Mukunda.
That's another fascinating angle. The idea that each person has a unique fundamental vibrational frequency centered at the navel.
A personal note.
Exactly. And his healing approach involved identifying this tone and helping guide the person's energy back into harmony with it. It suggests a possible vibrational basis for why things like navel integration might work.
Moving into Sufism now, how do they relate to the navel?
There's a deep connection between breath, nafas, and the navel, naf. This connection is seen as key to purifying the nafs, the instinctual or lower soul, often located conceptually in the abdomen.
While the higher soul, the ruh, is in the heart.
Correct. So practices often involve breathwork focused on the navel and heart connection, often with visualization of the divine, remembrance of God, cultivating gratitude, awe, humility, centering practices to connect with the divine self.
And Almas, in the diamond approach, he had a specific take on the umbilical cord cutting.
Yes, he sees that separation not just physically, but energetically and psychologically, as creating a perceived gap or separation from our essential nature, our divine essence. He calls this the Maya gap, located right at the navel.
So working with the navel is like working on that original wound of separation.
That's the implication. Treating the navel as treating this original psychological scar.
Wow. And are there more traditional folk practices mentioned?
Yes. The sources note traditional navel manipulation used in Turkey for abdominal pain and in parts of Iran for various ailments, even seizures. And Brema, which has Kurdish and Sufi roots, explicitly centers on the navel as the core of the Hara's vital energy centers.
Okay, let's talk about Osho. He seems to place huge importance on the navel.
Perhaps the strongest emphasis of all the sources. He calls it the most important point. Not the mind, not the heart, but the navel, the origin point of the body and where the soul connects.
The soul connects at the navel. That's a strong statement.
It is. He talks about invisible energy threads connecting our navel to other navel centers, to universal energy. He even suggests that the deepest relationships, true friendship, authentic sexuality are centered at the navel level.
How does one cultivate that, according to him?
Through presence, fearlessness. He recommends conscious breathing, mindful eating, good sleep, and chanting AUM, feeling the M sound resonate specifically in the navel area. Stillness of mind is key to feeling this navel presence.
True, being as stillness centered in the navel.
That's his view. He also links it to the kidneys, which might relate back to the solar plexus adrenal glands connection. And interestingly, he recommends focusing on the traditional Horo location, slightly below the navel, specifically for protection against stress.
Ah, so a practical reason for that location sometimes.
And he mentions the Hora as the center for the transition into death, referencing Harakiri, where the samurai's act demonstrated an ultimate presence and control centered in the Hora. Their strength came from being fully present there.
Powerful imagery. And Brema, you mentioned it earlier.
Yes, Brema work fundamentally involves the Hora, which they center at the navel, but see is connected throughout the body, much like fascia. Treating the Hora is often a basic treatment protocol.
How does the practitioner work?
The key is that movements originate from the practitioner's own Hara, using gravity, body weight, never force. There's no intention to fix, just presence being in the moment fluidly. Touching the Hara is often linked to treating other areas too, like fascia meridian points on the feet.
Systemic connection again.
Exactly. And they have self-Brema exercises too, for individuals to cultivate this energy flow and presence. It requires harmony of body, emotions, and mind, all centered in the navel Hara. It's the center of encountering oneself and what they call the self of life.
Okay, so bringing this towards a more integrated modern perspective, integral orthopedics, how do they tie this all together?
They really synthesize the physical and energetic. They clearly recognize autonomic nervous system dysregulation, that stress mode, sympathetic dominance, blocked vagus nerve, and it's linked to physical issues like pelvic twisting and tight hip flexors.
The things we discussed earlier.
Right. And they directly observe that gentle touch on the navel can often immediately release that pelvic tension.
Unless the aura is strained.
Exactly. If there's significant energetic strain or disturbance in the field around the navel, which they might perceive as a strained aura, that blocks the normal self-regulation. In those cases, they'd address the aura strain first.
So the energetic state affects the physical reset.
It seems so. Their technique, navel integration, involves that gentle navel contact, maybe with the other hand on a tense area like the neck or over the kidneys or other scars. The goal is to release stored tension, synchronize energy, and importantly, activate the vagus nerve.
Promoting relaxation, deeper breathing, better digestion.
All those parasympathetic effects. They believe a strained navel area, maybe from a stressful pregnancy, birth, or later life events, really impacts body, mind, and emotions. They even mention trauma clouds, where stressed energy fields overlap between people.
Emphasizing the need for regular stress relief. Nature, exercise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But for lasting change, they argue you need to harmonize all the contributing stress factors. A key takeaway is that a chronically tense navel functionally blocks the vagus nerve, contributing to a huge range of complaints, not just back pain, but potentially many systemic issues.
Whereas a relaxed navel, a balanced hara,
supports everything. Self-regulation, the abdominal brain, organ function, heart rhythm via the vagus, emotional balance via the brain centers, creativity, intuition, even connection to higher consciousness. It's foundational for body-mind-emotion harmony.
It really sounds like the sources converge on this idea of the belly, the hara, as this grounding point, a place for inner focus, but also connection outwards.
Definitely, a resting point. The heart might be for love, the head for thought, but the belly, centered at the navel, seems to be the anchor for our very being, our connection to the unconscious, to some larger connecting force.
And listening to the body's feedback is key.
The body rewards that connection, the sources suggest. With more sensitivity, relaxation, focus, resilience, enjoyment, better healing, the mind finds stillness. The personality finds balance, joy, meaning.
Even if we don't fully understand the mechanisms, fascia, nerves, matrix nurturing that connection seems vital, whatever we call it, hara, navel center, connection to the divine.
Exactly. It can feel different ways. Pure being, love in the heart, guiding intuition, connection to earth energy. It's felt physically and subtly beyond just space and time.
Grounding there builds trust in our own wisdom, in life's wisdom.
And it reflects outwards in our connections. Deeper anchoring brings stability, harmony, strength, intuition. We recognize our true needs, act on them.
And this anchoring deepens in stillness when the mind rests there.
Yes, aligning consciousness with being. The navel perhaps setting the fundamental tone, like a conductor.
So living from this center, what does that look like practically?
Well, the navel's role in fascia makes it key for coordinated, effortless movement. Think of the lightness in martial arts or dance. Focusing there enhances that mind-body connection through fascial awareness. We can sense overloads better. Enjoy touch more.
And the solar plexus aspect brings inner peace.
If it's balanced, yes. Peace, concentration. That balance is crucial for physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Connecting here also helps us perceive and integrate our life force, our eros. It empowers performance and self-healing.
And helps us understand our emotions better, tracing them to their physical roots in the gut.
Precisely. Cultivating stillness in the center allows the busy mind to settle. We can observe, reflect before reacting, develop that neutral observer perspective.
It all comes back to energy, doesn't it?
Ultimately, yes.
Yeah.
The major nerve centers, brain, spine, abdomen, throat, heart, pelvis, are the basis for concepts like chakras or kundalini. Concentrating energy there activates them. But first, the core needs to be freed from stress, from unwanted energetic ties.
Letting go of ego dominance.
That seems necessary to access higher states.
Yeah.
Devotion to something larger than the ego helps center it. Life tends to confirm our trust by providing strength and guidance when we seek that connection.
The mind needs to let go of past and future.
And embrace the present moment, the direct experience. That's where we perceive the underlying love, wisdom, power, beauty. It can happen in meditation or just walking down the street if we're connected.
Connecting to the center lets us hear the fullness of life's music.
Beautifully put. Surrendering the small self, the ego, to the larger self, or the divine, allows us to be guided. Life becomes less of a struggle and more of a dance around that still-centered point where our will aligns with life's deeper intelligence.
Okay, that's a lot to take in. Before we wrap up, the sources included some practical exercises for listeners to try.
Yes, a few simple ways to start engaging with this center. First, one for cleansing the hara, using what's called integral aura relief.
How does that work?
You stand, arms hanging loosely. Then imagine you're gathering energy in front of your belly. Spread your arms out wide to the sides in a big semicircle, like you're clearing space, and bring them forward again.
What's the intention?
To release accumulated tension, unprocessed emotions from the energy field, the aura, around the navel center. You might even sense an edge to the stress cloud as you move your hands through it and feel a sense of release.
Can you do it with a partner?
Yes. One person can do the movement, while the partner gently feels for the boundary of that energy field. It's good to do after stressful experiences.
Okay, cleansing. What about strengthening?
For strengthening, there's navel integration. You can do this lying down or sitting comfortably.
What's the technique?
Place one hand gently on your abdomen, guiding the navel area without pressing hard, just gentle contact. Place the other hand first on one kidney area in your back, then the other for a minute or two each.
And focus on.
Imagine the energetic connection between your hands through your core. Observe your breath. Notice any changes in muscle tone. Maybe you feel a wave of relaxation flowing down your legs. Then you can move the second hand to other areas, like the back of your neck or your heart area, continuing to observe.
Sounds very calming. Anything for grounding?
Yes, grounding the hara. This is really simple. Just feel the contact your body makes with the surface supporting you. Chair, floor, bed. Feel your weight, gravity.
And then?
Imagine a connection deepening from your hara, your navel center, down through your feet or tailbone or your whole body, into the earth. Like roots growing down. Consciously surrender any burdens or tensions down into the earth.
Can do this anywhere.
Pretty much. Doing it barefoot on actual earth, earthing is great. Or using water, like showering or bathing. Imagine intention washing away.
Simple but potentially powerful. One more. Connecting outwards.
Right. Connecting the hara with our environment. For this, you can place your hands in a funnel shape or triangle on your stomach, pointing towards the navel.
And visualize.
Visualize a beam of light entering your navel, filling your center. Then imagine connections, like threads of light, radiating out from your hara to people, animals, places, even objects that have emotional significance for you.
Like mapping your emotional web.
Exactly. Observe this web without judgment. Notice which connections feel strong, weak, tangled. Just becoming aware can shift things. You can extend this to the past, significant events, ancestors seeking understanding, and maybe releasing old entanglements.
Asking about burdens, goals.
Yeah, what burdens are you carrying that aren't yours? What unconscious goals are driving you? Then bring your attention back to your belly. Notice what tasks or motives feel harmonious and truly yours. Reconnect with the feeling of the earth beneath you, your breath, letting thoughts and feelings settle in your center.
Those sound like really accessible ways to start exploring this.
Mm-hmm. Just simple practices to bring awareness to this vital area.
Okay, so let's try and bring this deep dive to a close. It's definitely clear the navel center is way more than just a scar.
Absolutely. It's emerged as this remarkable physical nexus, deeply wired into the nervous system, a living archive of our earliest development, and quite astonishingly, a central focal point across so many diverse healing and spiritual traditions.
Yeah, the convergence is striking. And understanding, maybe engaging with this center, the sources really do suggest it offers pathways to, well, potentially greater physical ease, maybe more emotional balance, and perhaps a deeper sense of connection.
A connection to ourselves, and maybe to something larger as well. It opens up possibilities.
So that leaves us, and you the listener, with a final thought to mull over. Thinking about everything we've touched on, the fascia, the nerves, the trauma connection, the energy centers, the spiritual significance, which aspect of the navel center's multifaceted role really resonates most strongly with you right now?
Yeah, what sparked your interest?
And how might you perhaps begin to explore that connection in your own life? Maybe starting gently, perhaps with one of those exercises we just described. It's really an invitation, isn't it, to turn your attention inward?
Mm-hmm. To a center within you that seems to hold a surprising amount of wisdom and potential that we often just overlook in daily life.
Definitely something to consider.